Oh, I've never been asked that. Well, I think it's a good question. That actually kind of stumped me.
Natalia making her way to the ring.
Natalia!
What's up? I'm Joe, and welcome to the Lightweights Podcast. Today's guest, WWE superstar, Natalia.
I think The Rock is so much fun to have around right now.
Natalia has been in the ring for almost 20 years and spills some tea on some of her favorite WWE superstars.
For example, Chad Gable. I see something so special in him. He reminds me of like Kurt Angle and Bret Hart like in one.
She's daughter of Jim the Anvil Neidhart and is part of the Hart Dynasty.
Who would you want to play your dad?
Oh, there's
and who would you want to play you?
I love Sydney Sweeney, so I'm like, Sydney Sweeney should play Natty.
I was lucky enough to chat with her inside her hotel room as she was traveling for WWE Raw. So if you like this conversation, please give this video a like, leave a comment down below who else you want me to have on, and hit the subscribe button because I have Maxine Dupri and Chelsea Green coming up next.
The most pay-per-view appearances, the most matches, the most wins, the most Raw matches, the most SmackDown matches, the most WrestleMania matches. When you heard all this, were you surprised?
I actually didn't know I had all of these like accolades until one day, Guinness World Records, they tagged me in a tweet, and I was like, wait, what? It was for the most wins. And I think, like, it just was shocking to me because I didn't realize that I had that many wins. But then when I started to dig deeper into it, I was like, oh my gosh, it's because I've had so many matches. And it just kind of took on a life of its own. So yeah, 6 Guinness World Records in.
And you have the longest female career as well.
I do. I am the longest tenured female in WWE history, which is like, it's really cool because back in the day, women weren't really in WWE for longer than a couple years. I mean, even the guys, it's very unheard of to have a career that spans longer than maybe 5 years. It's showbiz and not, it's very competitive in WWE, and it's not, you know, it's hard. It's hard to survive in showbiz, nonetheless WWE, for that long, but here I am.
What's your secret to longevity? Because no injuries, you're still able to do it. You're killing it performing. It's crazy.
Thank you.
It's really unheard of.
I am so lucky. I've had like one ankle injury in the last 17 years in WWE. And granted, I have a little bit, you know, get bruised up. I broke my nose a couple years ago, and I've had like little aches and pains here and there. It's wrestling. You kind of, you know, you go through stuff, but I've been very, very blessed. Knock on a couch.
My favorite phrase.
I've been very, very blessed with just, I guess, luck. And also I truly believe that, you know, especially being a professional athlete, you have to really take meticulous care of yourself because you only have this one body to do all of this. And even if I wasn't a professional athlete, I would still try to take meticulous care of myself because I need my body for the rest of my life. So I do really focus on my health.
What's your recovery days look like?
I do so much for my recovery. And it's something I've gotten really good at. And you have to be selfish. And because especially working in WWE and, you know, doing this for as long as I have to make sure that I do things that I can, like, that can help my body recover. So I'm on a table 3 to 4 times a week. I work with an adrenal specialist that works on my adrenal glands. As a professional athlete and a performer, you need adrenaline. So I work with a guy, TJ and I have been working with him for close to a decade. He's worked on Edge. He's worked on Undertaker. He's phenomenal. And
what exactly is that?
So an adrenal specialist, what Jason does, it's very like niche area, but he works on massaging our adrenal glands so that if you can't produce adrenaline, like a lot of athletes need adrenaline for performance. You know, Simone Biles talked about it, like when she was in the, you know, when she pulled out of the Olympics, she was struggling with her performances because, for one, there's not the crowds. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm sure she had other reasons why she was struggling with her performances. But I know when you don't have a crowd to perform in front of, you don't get that same kind of adrenaline. Adrenaline is very important. It helps you with fight or flight. If you're not, like for me, if I'm not nervous and I'm not feeling that rush before I go out, adrenaline can keep you very safe. It gives you that extra edge. It gives you that energy that you need to perform at the very highest level, especially when you're performing around, you know, or in front of millions of people around the world. So Jason works on keeping our adrenal glands really healthy so that you function at your highest level. And then he also works on our brainstem. So it's just like basically a massage. It's a 2-hour massage on your adrenal glands and your brainstem.
Three times a week.
Twice a week.
Twice a week.
So, and then I work with an active release therapist, an ART therapist that does stretching. He works like to basically just professionally stretch us out. And then I just go for deep muscle massages on the days that I don't have those. And then I also, like, I'm just religious about my vitamins. I love taking vitamins. I take so many different vitamins. It's funny because I do lab work about every 6 months just to make sure, like, I'm not deficient in B12. I'm not deficient in iron. I'm not deficient in, you know, like calcium or vitamin D. And WWE actually does a lot of that lab work with us. But then I do it on my own, because if you're somebody that's deficient in something like B12, you'll have very, very low energy. And sometimes you might not even know it. So you'll be like, gosh, I'm feeling so tired, or I'm feeling run down. It's because you're deficient in something, usually. So I really stay on top of my fitness and my health and wellness. And yeah, I love massages. I love taking care of myself. I love staying in tune with my body. You know, if you're even just being on a plane, I just got in yesterday from being in Saudi Arabia. It took us 18 hours to get there.
Well, you went to Tampa and now we're in LA.
Yeah.
So even more.
So I flew from Tampa to Frankfurt, Frankfurt to Saudi Arabia. I was in Saudi Arabia for under 24 hours, flew back to Frankfurt, back to Tampa, and then flew from Tampa to Los Angeles. And this is in the span of 3 days. So sitting on a plane for that long, you know, your hips will get really tight and you'll like feel kind of crunched up. I work with somebody, you know, the active release therapist, Matt. He's out of Orlando. He works on all the NXT people, but he's amazing. And he kind of unlocks everything. Because if you're locked up just from sitting on a plane that long, you know, you can't perform the way that you need to. So I think part of the longevity that I have in my career is from, you know, taking such good care of myself. And you hear about this kind of stuff from LeBron James and, you know, Kobe Bryant. When he was alive, he would talk about just, you know, the work that he would do to stay in the shape that he was in. You can't perform and be at an elite level by just imagining it. You have to put the work in, but you also, after putting in the work, you have to put the recovery in too, you know, so that your body is performing at maximum efficiency.
For someone who doesn't understand wrestling, what do you think makes a good wrestler?
You mean good WWE superstar?
WWE superstar. Yeah. Let's go right to it.
Because there's, you know, it's funny. In WWE, like, I'm a wrestler. I love wrestling. But we're so much more than just wrestlers. And I love that because I love wrestling. I've grown up in a huge wrestling family my entire life. But, like, I love everything that comes along with this career. It's so special. It's so unique. And I think, you know, in some ways, I think, like, yes, first and foremost, I'll always be a wrestler. But I think what makes somebody have that total package of being, like,
having a superstar,
being a star, like having that it factor, I think it's a sparkle. It's an inner sparkle that just radiates, you know, where it's like you have an emotional connection with the audience. That is the biggest thing. I think when you think of the greats in this industry, they have that it factor, that emotional connection with the audience, because it's not enough to just be a great wrestler. And trust me, this is coming from somebody that grew up in a huge wrestling family that loves the business and that loves wrestling. It's you, this day and age, to really thrive in it, you have to have that emotional connection with the audience. And that can come from so many different areas. That can come from a storyline, that can come from your in-ring performances, that can come from the way you interact with the crowd in and out of the ring. That can come from, you know, a challenging journey that you've been through that the audience can relate to or connect with, whether you're overcoming an injury, whether, you know, somebody in your family passed away and you're going through that, or your struggle to get, you know, whether it's a weight loss journey, or there's so many different factors that can connect you with the audience. And I think that that's just so important to have that sparkle, that it factor, because you can be phenomenal in the ring, but sometimes that's just not enough. And it's certainly not enough to make it in WWE. There's so many other elements that you have to have. And I look at somebody like, for example, Chad Gable. Chad, like, I see something so special in him. I think he's he reminds me of like Kurt Angle and Bret Hart, like in one. And he is a phenomenal athlete, an incredible wrestler, an incredible in-ring performer. But like in the last couple of years, we've really seen this personality come out of him. And I watched this match that he had on Monday Night Raw with Gunther. And you could just feel this energy and this like connection with him in the audience that people were just rallying.
In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up thinking we could pull one of the best autographs in the game, but guess what? With zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com. The only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now, when I buy Slab Packs on Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. What I love is the display of the available cards, the hit rates, and the grading. Arena is a marketplace for card collecting, buying, trading, selling, displaying, and with Arena Club Slab Packs, they're revolutionizing the repack game with transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed in your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling. You can have them officially graded by Arena Club. The Arena Club grading process is accurate, fast, and transparent, with a full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. So whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform you have to check out. Right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/lightweights. Wow, that's a crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's $40 right there. Anyways, go to arenaclub.com/lightweights for 10% off your first purchase. This episode is sponsored by Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning platform available on desktop or as an app, and that it truly immersifies you in the language that you want to learn. Maybe you have an upcoming international trip or you want to connect with a family or a friend. I know a lot of people who want to learn a new language just to pick up a new hobby. I can personally attest to this as I used Rosetta Stone when I went to Italy for my honeymoon. It helped me brush up on the Italian that I learned back in school, and I was able to get through the land and speak the native language. It made it so much more fun, plus my wife loved it. They're the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish. There's no English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in the language. Plus, there's lifetime membership and access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. A steal. Don't put off that language learning. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Lightweights podcast listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language learning courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. It's the Joe Guarantee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Behind him because of his struggle, because of the fight that he had inside of him, and like his little daughter was front row and she was crying because she wanted her dad to win, and you could feel his passion. It was just radiating through him, and that's like the turning point of, I think, what made, you know, took Chad from being a really great wrestler to all of a sudden Gable is like a huge star in WWE and incredibly talented and just like an extremely gifted performer, but he's now got that it factor.
Are you watching every match live as it's happening in the locker room?
I try to watch, unless I'm doing something or filming something, like for WWE, because sometimes they have us running around like crazy. I try to watch the matches. I think it's just a respect thing when you watch somebody's match, especially the girls' matches. I try not to miss the women's matches because it's nice to be able to talk to the girls when they come back, or have somebody talk to me after my match and go, hey, I love that. That was a great match. Like, you guys killed it out there. That was so good. I loved when you did that flip off the top rope, or I loved your facials in this one moment. They really zoomed in on it. They replayed that moonsault, or it's nice. It's respect. It's really, truly out of respect.
I was going to ask that because I feel like you're the person to pull things from people and then to give that feedback back of what you really like.
Yeah. Like, for example, Liv Morgan, like, she had a match a couple weeks ago and it was against Zoe Stark. And I was just like, it meant so much to me because Liv, after her match, she asked me what I thought. And she was like, what did you think? Be honest with me. Like, I want to get your feedback and I want to be better and I want to grow and I want to learn. And like, she's just a sponge. Like, she wants to like always improve, you know? And she trains with me in my ring in Florida. And she always just puts in so much extra work to be better, especially coming off of an injury. And she just like she wants to grow. And I love that. I love that she wanted advice from me. And I was like so flattered by that. And then it really made me think too about like, what would I do differently if I was in Liv's situation in that match? Or like, I learned a lot for myself and my own performance by watching Liv and Zoe about what I liked, what I would take my time with more, what I would add, what I would, you know, take out, what I like, because they had such a good match. But again, when you watch other people's matches, you can find so much inspiration in them.
Do you think that the way that you look at matches is rare?
Nah, I mean, maybe because I've been in it for so long and I've been around it my whole life and I've been surrounded, like, maybe it is because I've got this different perspective having grown up in the industry with, you know, being part of this massive wrestling family. But my husband is also, you know, very engulfed in it. He was a wrestler for 20 years. And then now he, you know, after suffering a career-ending injury, he is a producer in WWE. So he has a whole different perspective now in the last 7-8 years about how he looks at matches. So I do look at it very differently than I used to, per se, before even like TJ. Before TJ was a producer, I'd look at it a little differently, just hearing his perspective. But now that he's behind the scenes working with the girls, I have a totally different perspective.
Were you always like that, even in the indies? Were you studying everything?
I love Japanese wrestling. I've always loved Japanese wrestling because my coach, before I was in WWE, my coach, his name was Tokyo Joe, and he would train elite wrestlers in Japan for a promotion called New Japan, very, very big promotion in Japan. And he was always bringing in wrestlers to Calgary, where I was born. Joe would bring in these famous Japanese wrestlers, and they would come and train at my uncle's gym. And we would meet them, and we would see them training. And I was just always fascinated by, like, the work ethic that they had. And, like, I love Japanese wrestling. And it's so cool right now to see that kind of, like, surge of women's Japanese wrestlers. We call them joshi. It's like joshi is the term for Japanese female wrestlers in Japan that come from Japan. But I made that really wordy. But they're so incredibly talented, these girls. Like, Asuka's been training for decades, you know, to do this. And so they just have so much passion. I have so much respect for them.
Going back to your indie run, did you feel like every match was one step closer to where you had to be? Or did you feel like you were really chipping away at something?
Yes, I felt like I was struggling to get bookings. I was struggling to get people to book me on their shows because when I started to take bookings and I started to like get out of the, okay, I'm not just training anymore for this. I'm actually going to try to like do active work. There weren't a lot of women in the industry. It wasn't that popular back in 2001, 2002. There wasn't a whole lot of like, wrestling just wasn't what it is now. And so it would be really hard to get people to, you know, independent wrestling promotions don't have the kind of money to fly you out of Canada and fly you to their promotion in the United States and then like have to get you a work permit and have to get you a flight and have to travel, you know, fly you internationally. And like, I didn't have a name, you know, so it's like, well, and then pay you on top of that. So it was very hard for me to get independent work, but I did end up getting a show. My very first independent show was called, it was at a show called Baseball Brawl in Buffalo, New York. And that's where I met R-Truth for the very first time. And he was so nice to me. He was just such, like, I always remember how great he was to me. And I felt like he, from that moment on, like, took me under his wing and was like, I got your back, like, anything you need. And, like, it's funny because meeting Truth all those years ago, I can't remember when it was. It might have been, like, 2004, early 2000s. He's still exactly the same nice, sweet, awesome, genuine person that he is today. And, but yeah, I had a hard time getting booked. I just had a hard time. So my uncle had a promotion called Stampede Wrestling. And so they, would use me all the time on their shows. And then I went to England and worked for a gentleman named Brian Dixon, who just recently passed away. But Brian, you know, let me work over there. And although it wasn't a lot of money, it was work. It was the work experience that I needed. And then I feel like my big break was when my coach, Tokyo Joe, got me a tour of Japan for with this women's promotion. The name of it back then, it was when All Japan Women's had just shut down. And the name of the promotion was Next Entertainment Organization, NEO. So I went and worked with them. And
with Japanese wrestlers?
Yes, with Japanese women's wrestlers.
And I assume you didn't speak Japanese?
No. And I lived there for many months. And I lived in a little town outside of Shibuya, which is in Tokyo. It's a huge city in Tokyo. But I lived in a little town called Moto Sumiyoshi. And I was so lonely because I lived by myself, and I would travel in every day to train with the girls. And once I started training with the girls and connecting with them, it didn't matter that we didn't speak the same language because wrestling spoke that universal language. So when we would get in the ring and we would get together and we would train and we would perform together, it was so much fun. I will always, always love and respect the Japanese women wrestlers so much. They taught me so much about staying strong and being fierce and fighting for your dreams, truly. And I wasn't making anything when I went over to Japan. I don't think I was making $100 a night. So it was hard. And we set up all of our own rings, and it was like, you know, the girl wrestlers were setting up the rings.
Were you communicating with your dad and your family and like updating them and like, am I on the right path? Like
my dad became like my biggest cheerleader. At first he was like, you know, this is dangerous and I don't want you to get hurt. And I'm like, you know, you have to be careful. And like, my dad was just super overprotective. But then like, he started to see that I liked it so much and that I was doing well with it. And then he started to watch me work. And he became like a huge supporter of my work. And my family was my uncle, Brett, and my uncle Ross, and my uncle Bruce. They were very involved in wrestling, and still, I feel like they still have their hand in it quite a bit. But they were also very supportive of me pursuing my dreams, especially as the first female in my family, the first female in the Hart family to pursue a career in the ring, you know, to actually be an active, like, wrestler. It wasn't something any other woman in my family did. Like, my Aunt Diana managed my Uncle Davy Boy, and she was part of their match at Wembley Stadium when she raised their hands in the ring at the end. But, you know, when she was young, like, there wasn't women wrestling. You know, there wasn't women in the dungeon that were training for this. So, I mean, that grammatically, that wasn't right. There weren't women wrestling. Sorry. My mom would be like, listen, your grammar is awful. But she, when she was a young girl, they didn't have that in the dungeon. My grandfather was just, he only trained men. So for me, I was blazing this whole new trail for women in the Hart family to do this. The first female in the Hart family to perform.
Were you in the dungeon watching?
I would watch in the dungeon, and I actually trained in the dungeon. So that was where I got my first start in wrestling. I was training in the dungeon.
At one point, there was a bear there?
Oh, yeah. A bear that lived there named Ted. That lived in the dungeon. Yeah. Brett actually talks about it. So I don't think it was a huge bear. I think it was a smaller bear. But I don't know the whole backstory of why the bear lived at the house, but the bear was treated like a pet. That my grandfather treated, this bear was so spoiled. This bear was eating ice cream. This bear was like, yeah. Brett talks about it in his book. His name was Ted. So, and he lived in the dungeon, and he would lick like ice cream off of my mom's feet and stuff like that. Like, it's crazy. You might think I'm crazy telling a story, but it's like it's a Hart House tale that this bear lived in the dungeon. My grandfather had like 25 cats at one time living at the Hart House. 10 dogs, dozens of cats. Like, there was there was chickens, like, there was goats. My grandfather had like, when the Hart House, when he first moved into the Hart House, there was tons and tons of land. So they had their own cows that they would milk. And my grandfather, yeah, the Hart House was a zoo.
What were your nerves like during your first matches, and what are they like now?
I get nervous before every match. Every single match. I'm getting nervous right now thinking about the match that I have tonight.
Is it the crowd? Is it your performance?
It's my performance. It's the audience. It's the people backstage. It's making my family proud. It's making myself proud. It's not letting the girls down. It's not letting my husband down. It's just trying to, like, there's so much pressure, and I love it. There's so much pressure. But I know this is kind of cheesy, but like, that's where diamonds are made, is when you're under pressure. And I love that feeling of like, we've got to do great. We've got to nail this. We've got to, like, everything that we're practicing for and training for is for this moment. I love it. I thrive on it. But yes, I get very, very nervous before I go out. And then the second I walk through the curtain, I'm like, it's a crazy rush. If you could bottle up the feeling that we have in performances. If you could bottle up that feeling and make it into a drug, everybody would be addicted to it, because it's just the most insane feeling of, like, there's nothing like it. And I've heard The Rock say that. I've watched The Rock come through the curtain in what we call gorilla. It's where you walk back, like, in and out, like, to get to the ring. But I've seen him come back through the curtain and go, nothing like it. Nothing, nothing, nothing like this. Yeah, it's crazy. It's a rush, to say the least.
Is there anybody, like, when you're obviously traveling to all these different arenas, you don't really know who's going to be there. Who do you get most excited for when you see walking through?
When I see walking through, like, a star?
Yeah, like someone who's not on the roster right now that you wouldn't regularly see. Maybe they're doing a guest spot or something. Or they're just coming to watch the show.
I think The Rock is so much fun to have around right now. He's truly, I know on TV he plays the role of a bad guy, but in real life he's a really great person. He's so supportive. I remember when my...
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Myself and my tag team partner at the time, her name is Tamina Snuka. She's also part of the Samoan dynasty. So I was part of the Hart dynasty. She's part of the Samoan dynasty. So we were a tag team. We did this match at WrestleMania. And we were teaming up that night, and it was during the pandemic when we were just allowed to start having fans come back. So they let us have an audience for the first time in like a year and a half. So The Rock sent us a message, and he filmed this beautiful video message for us, and like a selfie style video. And it was so beautiful. And he sent it to me and to Tamina. And he was like, I'm so proud of you girls. You know, think about what you guys are representing. You're representing our family, and decades and generations and years and years and years of history have gone into you two performing tonight. And when you walk out through that curtain, don't ever forget like where you came from and all the people that fought for you guys to get here. And now you're like carrying on that torch for your families. And it was just this powerful message. And literally, like, I thought about his words when I was walking down to the ring at WrestleMania, and he just took the time. Like, somebody who's the biggest movie star in the world took the time for us. And as a woman in the company, like, when somebody takes that time for you to, like, really show that they care, it means the world. Nonetheless, The Rock. You know, so that always stuck with me. So when The Rock is around, whether you like him, whether you hate him, whether he's a good guy or a bad guy, he raises every stake. The building will be sold out. And, you know, granted, WWE's business is booming at the moment, and it's wonderful. But, like, when he's there, everybody just is on their game. And he makes it fun. And I really, like, he's just awesome. He's an awesome person to work with and be around. And, like, I'm really happy that he's doing stuff right now in WWE. He's a true role model.
Carrying on your family legacy, when you started doing Total Divas and you brought your dad into that, what did that feel like that you were bringing him into something you were doing?
Well, truthfully, I was so grateful for Total Divas because, and I still am to this day, because when my dad's career in WWE ended and he was no longer able to be a wrestler or a football player or a shot putter, because when my dad was growing up, when my dad was 18 years old, he was one of the best shot putters in the United States. He had a full scholarship to UCLA. Tons of universities were trying to get him because he was such an incredible shot putter. Naturally gifted, amazing. When he stopped shot putting, he ended up playing in the NFL. He was in the Dallas Cowboys and the Oakland Raiders. When his football career ended, he was lost and didn't quite know what to do. He ended up meeting my grandfather, Stu Hart, in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, and put his football career behind him and met my mom and started wrestling and met the Hart family, and the rest is history. But when his career in WWE ended, he didn't really know who he was after that. Like, he just didn't know where he fit into the world. And I think that happens with, and it's important to talk about, I think that happens with a lot of professional athletes where they don't, once their professional career is over, they don't know what to do. They don't have an identity. They didn't plan for, back in the day, they weren't planning for life after their careers were done. You know, a lot of them didn't, they weren't given those tools. They didn't have people coaching them or talking to them about mental health and what's the next step and where do we go and how do you start a business. And my dad, when he was in WWE, was just focused on being a wrestler. So Total Divas gave him an outlet to be something else and to show the world his personality, and to like, it made him feel like he was a part of something. And I will always be so, so grateful for Total Divas for allowing my dad to feel like he mattered. He was able to be a part of our show. He was able to entertain people. He was able to teach people. He was able to like remind people that it's okay to be human. We covered on the show, I put my dad into rehab because he was struggling with addiction. We covered that on the show. We were filming season 8 of the show, and my dad died while we were filming the show. And I remember WWE, which was very thoughtful of them, and I appreciated it very much, but they said, you know, we don't have to keep filming. You don't have to keep doing this. If you want, we can just give you a break. We know your dad just died. And it was very nice, but I said, listen, I signed up to do this show, and I think it's so important that people see what we're going through. And somebody watching at home might be able to relate. It might be able to go, my dad was going through this, or we just lost a family member, or we're going through something really hard. That to me is what makes that show, or that to me is what makes reality TV, or, you know, it made Total Divas great, was being able to be relatable and sharing the good, the bad, and everything in between. So my dad got a lot out of that show, but I think people actually inadvertently got a lot out of watching my dad, because they could see that he wasn't just a wrestler. He was a person that was real, and he was relatable just like everybody else.
If it ever came back, would you want to be part of it?
Of course. Of course. I'm always, always, always fighting for more for the women in WWE. And I think it's important when you're in WWE, you have to advocate for certain things that you want to do. And of course, I would love to see something like Total Divas come back. I think it was a great, you know, and it doesn't necessarily have to be exactly like it was before, because sometimes that's hard to duplicate what we had, you know, like you don't have the same cast and the dynamics are different. And but like it would be really cool to reinvent and do something very modern and new and kind of fresh, but like kind of still that vibe of Total Divas. I would love to have it. I would love to do that. And I would love to do another, like a revamp of Total Divas. I think it'd be so much fun. But what it was great for doing as well, it was that it was like, I would meet so many women that would come up to me and go, I never ever watched WWE, but I watched it because of Total Divas. I watched Bravo, or I watched, you know, The Real Housewives, or I watched The Kardashians, or, you know, we watched Total Divas after The Kardashians. And we were like, whoa, we never thought we would watch WWE until we watched you girls on Total Divas. Then they're bringing their kids and their husbands to the shows, and they're coming to WrestleMania, and they never were wrestling fans before. So it kind of, what's great about it is that it gets people that never watched, especially women that never watched the show, watching WWE. And then women make a lot of decisions in the house. So then they bring their kids and they bring their husbands. And then all of a sudden they're all wrestling fans, and they're all going, can you smell what The Rock is cooking?
Do you have a favorite moment from that show?
I have so many favorite moments. I love doing that show. We would do some really fun cast vacations, and I remember so many great, my wedding. I think my wedding would be my favorite moment. Like, yeah, the cast vacations were fun. I threw Lana's luggage into the ocean at one point. I remember that. I may have had some tequila that night. but my wedding was on season 1. It was the finale, and it was so much fun. And I loved like seeing my dad, like looking back on the footage and seeing my dad walk me down the aisle, and it was just such a great time. It was so special. My cat also walked me down the aisle with my dad, and there was a ton of mayhem on the day of my wedding. Of course, there was a hurricane that hit. It was a crazy storm. My cat ended up getting sick. My sisters were fighting with each other. One of them may have Peter Pants laughing. I don't want to get into that, but I won't name who.
What kind of storm did you have?
It was a hurricane. It was like
I had a hurricane on my wedding.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was like, because we wanted a beach wedding outside, And I didn't realize it was so hot that my dad wanted to walk me down the aisle with no shoes on. And I was like, Daddy, you can't, like, you can't do that. And my dad was like using my hairbrush to brush his beard. And it was so, I look back at it, it was just such a funny, it was so fun. But it was chaotic.
Yeah.
That would be my favorite moment on Total Divas.
What do you think you added to the Hart legacy?
I think, what do I add to it?
Yeah.
Oh, I've never been asked that. Well, I think that's a good question. That actually kind of stumped me. I'm really humble. I take pride in being humble. I don't like to like go on about, you know, what makes me great or what makes me great for the family. But I think I'm so proud to be able to continue to carry on like the torch that my grandfather passed on to my uncles and that my uncles passed on to me. That makes me so proud because I feel like I've done my family's name, like I've done the name proud. And it's not easy to be a woman in this industry. It's certainly not easy when you're following in these massive footsteps, when your uncle is Bret Hart or Owen Hart or the British Bulldog or Dynamite Kid, your dad is Jim the Anvil Neidhart. I just named like four Hall of Famers there. And your grandfather is Stu Hart, like to follow in those footsteps and to have to like blaze your own trail. I feel like I've really been able to keep my family's name alive and I'm proud of that. I'm so proud of that. And I've been able to do it in such a positive way where people can still think about the Hart family and see it alive and well today. And they can, when they watch me perform, they can think about my uncles and think about my grandfather and go, wow, like, you know, it's so cool to see like a Hart still doing this. I think it's, to me, it's so important to keep my family's name alive. The biggest thing for me is to continue to honor them and to continue to keep the name alive, to keep the dungeon alive, to remind people of what the dungeon was, what my grandfather started in 1955. To keep the Hart family name alive and to really make sure that my family is honored and represented in the best possible way.
Is your training facility the dungeon?
Well, it's called the dungeon, yes, but it's actually named after my grandfather's dungeon. So my grandfather started the original dungeon in the 50s when he bought the Hart House in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, and the original dungeon was just this little room with a mat and a couple windows and these wooden walls. And my grandfather had his own weights down there. He had his own he welded his own weights that said his name Hart on the weights. And it's where some of the greatest professional wrestlers in the world learned how to work, learned how to wrestle, learned how to hone their craft. Wrestlers like the Dynamite Kid and Brian Pillman, my dad, Owen, Bret, Davey, Gorilla Monsoon trained with my grandfather in the dungeon. My grandfather actually broke in the Von Erichs. My grandfather, Stu, is the reason why the Von Erichs got into professional wrestling, because my grandfather met Fritz Von Erich in Edmonton, and Fritz was meeting with the Edmonton Eskimos, a football team, because Fritz was a football player. So Fritz Von Erich met Stu Hart, and Stu said, you're a big guy, you should get into wrestling. Next thing you know, Fritz Von Erich and his wife and his family were moving into the Hart House on the property. They lived in a little trailer on the property. And my grandfather broke Fritz in to wrestling. And so I thought that was so cool because we've just seen the success of the Iron Claw.
Did you see it?
I did. And I loved it. I thought it was so well done. And it was very inspiring to me. That movie inspired me so much. And I couldn't believe, like, because I saw the movie and I texted Bret and I said, you have to see this movie. It's so good. It's so touching. It's really powerful. And Bret told me the story about Fritz getting into wrestling through my grandfather. So I thought that was just so cool because so many people are connected to my family in such a special way.
Has there ever been talks about a Hart family movie?
There's been talks about a movie. It's funny. I'm not sworn to secrecy, but I'm not allowed to say entirely what it is. It's when we say Hart family, that's very vague. The Hart family could be a bunch of things because listen, the Hart family, there's a ton of meat on the bone. You could do a movie just on my grandfather, Stu Hart, alone, because my grandfather, how he even got involved in wrestling was because he was a homeless child living in Saskatchewan, which is a place, if you know Canada, Saskatchewan's one of the coldest places in Canada. And my grandfather lived in a tent and slept in between dogs to stay warm. And his the only, and there's been many books and things written about this, but it's my grandfather's legacy. The reason why he started wrestling was because he just needed a place to stay warm. So he joined the YMCA as a place to like get refuge, a place to go inside, a place to like, you know, just stay, literally find shelter. And he took up amateur wrestling, literally as a place to stay warm out of the snow, and became amateur wrestling champion of Canada. So wrestling saved my grandfather's life, literally.
Who would you want to play your dad?
Oh, there's
and who would you want to play you?
Well, it's funny because like I love Sydney Sweeney, so I'm like, Sydney Sweeney should play Natty. I think Sydney Sweeney should play me. And I know that, but she's like, I think she's so talented and like, she's so pretty. So like, I'm going to go with somebody that's really pretty. I've said this in interviews before, but I think it's worth saying again. I love Paul Walter Hauser and I think he's so talented, but I love that he loves wrestling, you know, and it's funny because he is a huge wrestling fan and he loves the industry. He's passionate about it. He's wrestled. In his acceptance speech at the Emmys, he like called out Matt Cardona in his acceptance speech and was like, cause he's getting ready to have a match with him, or I think he had a match with him. He's about to. But Paul Walter Hauser loves wrestling. He has so much respect for wrestling. But the more I look at old footage of my dad, the more that I'm like, oh my God, Paul would be like a great Jim Neidhart. Like he has like, I've said this before, but I can't unsee Paul as my dad. I think he would play such a great Jim Neidhart. And I love that he loves wrestling and he's passionate about the industry. And like when I start fantasy casting, I would cast Paul. But then like, there's so many different people that I would think like, who would play my grandfather? You know, like my grandfather, he's such a stoic, handsome man. And then I think about my grandmother, Helen Hart, who would play her, and like, cause she was such a beautiful woman. So there's so much meat on the bone. I think when you think Hart family, people go directly to like just Brett Owen, you know, my dad, Davey. It's there's so much to my family. And I think that's what makes our family special. That's why like something like a movie on our family, there's just so many possibilities.
When's your book coming out?
My book.
Are you working on it?
I have been approached to write a book, and it's something I'm really interested in doing. 2024 is going to be a year of huge growth for me, and I'm really excited about it. There's a lot of change happening for me and a lot of positive growth. So I'm really excited about what I'm going to be doing this year and the projects that I'm working on. To me, it's the year that I've been waiting for. And people say to me like, oh, what more do you want to do in WWE? Or are you happy where you're at? Or what are your feelings? Or, you know, do you still want to do this or that? And it's like, I still want so much more. I want so much more. I've been fighting for so much more for so long. And I think that's what's kept me in WWE for 17 years, is that I've never stopped being hungry. I've never stopped going to work like it's my first day on the job. I've never stopped fighting for my dreams, fighting for opportunities, fighting to be the best, fighting to honor my family in the way that they should be honored. Like I have so many more dreams and so many more goals that I want to accomplish. And this year is like a big start for that for me.
Is it easier now with Triple H being there, since you've worked with him and you've kind of seen him in the locker room, that you can approach him with ideas?
Well, the thing with Triple H is that he's younger. So it's not to say that like, and again, I'm not age shaming anyone. I think that with Triple H, he used to be a wrestler. So
he was in your shoes.
Yeah. So he knows what it's like to be a talent, and he knows what it's like to do this. He knows what it's like to go out there and to excel, or to make mistakes, or to grow, or to get, I mean, he tore his quad once in the ring and finished the match. So he knows what it's like to be in the ring with us, like doing what it is that we do. He knows about all the frustrations that we might have, and but he's younger, so like if I go to him with an idea, he's able to like process it a little differently and take it into consideration. And in the last 6 months with WWE, we've seen so much change, and I feel like when you go to our shows, you're really like, you're getting such a great product. Like, people are really loving the storylines coming to life, and there's a lot of continuity, and you're seeing a lot, like, to me, what I would love to see in 2024 is women's wrestling is soaring. Women's wrestling storylines taking over on Raw, on SmackDown, on NXT. You know, we have so many talented female wrestlers in the company right now. And I think, like, to give the girls a really strong focus this year, I think we have more than earned it, and we deserve it. And I'm hoping to see that. Like, I think, I feel like Triple H will really help us with getting more of a focus for the women. So I hope and pray for that all the time, because the girls are fighting so hard to just feel like they matter. And I think that we moving over to Netflix, and, you know, there's a lot of change and growth right now in the company. I know NXT has a new TV deal. SmackDown has a new TV deal. Raw has a new TV deal. It's going to allow for a lot of progress and change and growth and storylines for the girls, and just room for everyone to shine.
Moving to Netflix, is that live?
I actually don't know the particulars of what that deal is. I know that Netflix, it's like kind of a first of its kind for Netflix to do a live sporting show on their, like, you know, because Netflix is all filmed stuff. But with WWE, what makes it exciting is that it's like, we have Guinness World Records for Raw and SmackDown being the longest running episodic TV shows in television history. Raw being number one and SmackDown being number two. So it is huge. That we would be going to Netflix. But it's like WWE, we thought, you know, just when you think you can't grow any bigger, we keep growing and we keep evolving and we keep changing and we keep changing the game. During the pandemic in 2020, when every other place and every other huge sporting outlet shut down, WWE did not miss one show. We never stopped. I did a WrestleMania match with Liv Morgan in front of four people. And normally WrestleMania is in front of masses, you know, it's in front of a stadium full of people. I did a match with Liv Morgan for WrestleMania during the pandemic with a referee, a producer, and a cameraman, and a sound producer. And we literally had four people in the room doing the match, and we made it work because that's what we do in WWE. We roll with the punches, literally and figuratively. We just roll with the punches. And I think the examples that we set, as far as like even just with the way we were so ahead of the curve digitally, when the whole world had to go digital because everything shut down, WWE was already digital. We were already doing so much digitally that it was such a smooth transition for us. We've always been kind of ahead of the curve. And we were able to just jump right in. It's like, okay, there's a pandemic. We can't have fans, but we're not going to stop giving people entertainment. We're not going to stop giving people a reason to tune in on a Monday night when when the whole world is stressed out. We're going to give them some relief. And we did. And I'm so proud that we worked through all of that, because it was not easy. Listen, performing in front of a crowd is so much fun. Try performing in front of no crowd. It's not the same, but we still did it. We still pulled it off, and we like showed that anything is possible.
It's ever evolving, always adapting. And I think that's why you're so successful and you've been doing it for so long, is because you are able to do that on a whim.
Yeah.
I know you have to get to an arena soon.
Yes, I have a big match tonight.
So thank you so much for making the time, making this happen in the hotel room.
Yeah, we got to mingle in a Marriott.
Yes.
But no, it's great. I always feel like whatever it takes to like make these connections. I love your show. Oh, and it's funny because, you know, you get to like almost live vicariously through people through social media. And so you do such a great job with your show. So when you asked me if I would be on your show, I thought it was a huge honor.
Oh, I was honored you responded.
And I was like, this will be great. It'd be so much fun to like, and I love supporting people that built their own businesses and, you know, have a dream and a passion for what they do. And I feel like you do. And you started from the ground up. So I think that's so awesome. And I have so much respect for that. So yes, thank you so much for having me on. It was such an honor. And I hope everybody enjoys watching this as much as I enjoyed filming it.
Thank you, Natty. All of Natty's links are going to be linked down below. So go check her out. And yeah, I'll see you at the arena tonight.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Lightweights out. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. That was great. That was a great interview.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.